The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
That's right. Happy Football Friday here in the G-Bag Nation, ladies and gentlemen. Broadus might be a half step slow today. He just buried himself in some of my mom's homemade Big ziti.
It's outstanding.
That'll really give you that itis.
I've been like working out like really, really hard.
I can tell, dude. You're getting more vascular. Your shirt's all the way up.
Yeah,
now.
I'm trying my best to slim down. Maybe get by the time we get to maybe baseball, Ranger spring training, so I can the vodka intake can be at a high level.
I knew that's what this was all about. Just prepping your body.
Oh, it's about getting ready for spring training.
For
baseball.
Spring training, where you're just going to get hammered.
But your mom's food, the Italian bread that she made last night.
Yeah, I've just been carb loading you since last night.
I had a bite of that, and I'm like, this is incredible. And thank you. Thank you so much to your mom, your family.
No problem.
For sharing. And is that what you had for Christmas?
Yeah, that was Christmas.
Holy jeez, I see what you're like. You never got out of your clothes.
Never got out of my clothes. Never really left the couch, I was just parked watching bad football for a long time.
I like how she uses, and just with a compliment to the meatballs, like the Italian little sausages. My gosh.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, very nice touch there. So this. Thank you very much to the Chiafalo family for sharing a little of their Christmas with me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, man. My parents can't get enough of you. They're always like, how's Broadus doing?
Yeah, we're all about the same age.
We love listening to Broadus. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Except
Broadus
when he stands
awesome.
Up and MFs you about running backs in the league.
I think they missed that one. Based on how glowingly they talk about you, I'm like, they must have missed our Ashton Genty fight.
Yeah, your mom would not be serving me food if that happened.
No,
for sure.
She loves you, man. I'll tell you what. I'm wondering if the Oklahoma Sooners did they have a little big ziti before they took the field today in Fort Worth?
I'll tell you what.
They're getting embarrassed right now.
So
they're about
far,
to lose. Brett Venables, what is happening to you,
they
man?
Just got
to
stop. They just got to stop. We'll see if they can drive. They're down 7 here with about under 2 minutes, I believe, to left to play. And we'll see how it all plays out. But I'm just going to go on record and say Navy has the best uniforms going in the bowl game so far.
I'll tell you, the helmets for sure.
White helmets with the Jolly Rogers pirate flags on them is
it looks great,
glorious.
Dude.
And they got, you know, Navy's got some good colors with the gold, the blue, and the white. And they're wearing they're wearing white. But see, that's the thing about the military schools. They will throw down some like, okay, we're going to honor a certain class, or we're going to honor a certain branch of the military. You know, we're going to honor a certain group.
They love having a good aesthetic to honor.
Yeah, they do. Did you see like Illinois? Illinois played, I want to say they played Michigan, and they designed uniforms that like they wore in the 20s, like the helmet. Go on and look at uniforms. It's like the Red Grange kind of uniforms that they went with. It was Michigan versus Illinois, and that each individual helmet took like 3 hours to paint.
They made it look like a leather helmet.
They made their helmets look like leather helmets. Each helmet took 3 hours to paint to get it to look that way.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I see this. It's it actually does look pretty cool. At least the photos do. I didn't see it how it looked like.
I was watching on film the other day, and I'm like going, this is awesome.
Dude, Usually,
yeah, some of these teams will throw down a seriously good look. Okay, Oklahoma's trying to fight now. They're trying to get their players all like over in the Navy bench. I think that's the last crew I would go. I don't think I'd be fighting with a bunch of Navy dudes.
Oh, yeah, you don't stand a chance.
No, but we'll see what happens here. But, yeah, there's a minute 47 left, and Navy's up 21-14. This is the Armed Forces Bowl over in Fort Worth. But what a beautiful day for a bowl game,
beautiful,
by the way.
Beautiful day
for a bowl game.
Thank God it wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
It's fantastic outside right now. And we'll see if Navy can take this one home. Sooners fans, Carter Freeman not here today.
You think he's at the game?
I bet he is. Oh, yeah, I bet he's at the game. Just hate watching it right now. He may have already rage quit and left shortly after halftime. It wouldn't totally shock me. But
you think he pulled one of my numbers?
Cam.
Yeah. Like he's, yeah. Oh, I've had enough.
He's going to listen to the game in the car now.
Yeah.
So tough sledding right now. Over 90 seconds. We'll see if Oklahoma can try and go tie this thing up.
Ball in the 35.
Yeah, they have a chance here. But I mean, hey, Navy 9-3, Oklahoma 6-6. So I mean, Navy's been better this year.
Yeah.
And now it is all happening in real time.
Zach.
Stephen Jones is going to join us here in about 15 minutes, and we'll chat with him about all things Cowboys, getting you ready for Sunday's outing versus the Eagles, and Nick Sirianni saying, yeah, it's going to be tough to imagine Jalen Hurts playing on Sunday. So
there you go.
We're getting Pickett versus Rush. And
it's going to be hard for you to imagine that CeeDee Lamb's going to be playing for
Yeah, that's true. CeeDee Lamb has been kaput. That news came down in the middle of our show yesterday. And
MRIs just never got better. The MRIs just never improved. Every time they did one.
Jerry was saying it was getting a little bit worse each time.
That's exactly what was happening.
And we thought we were living in a world where it couldn't get any worse. It was just a pain tolerance
thing. Next time somebody tells you it's not going to get any worse, it's already to the worst is what it is. But no, CD's a tough guy. The medical staff over there does a great job. But yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, it would be nice to be able to match up against the Eagles. You might have the advantage at quarterback, and they have the advantage at running back, but we'll see. Maybe Dallas can surprise us with a little run defense this week. Last time they held Barkley in check, it was Hurts that was running that really kind of hurt them in that football game.
Yeah. I mean, I have decent amount of faith in the Cowboys' defense, but the Cowboys' offense, especially with the Eagles having that bad taste in their mouth defensively after what they just let happen to them in the fourth quarter versus the Commanders, just totally letting the bottom fall out on them there, and they give up 22 points and lose the game in the fourth quarter. So I'm sure Dick Fangio and company defensively are going to be coming in there ready to do some damage. And without CeeDee Lamb, it's going to be tough. I do wonder, and we'll ask Steven, like, who steps up in this scenario? Are we going to see, I guess, who's wide receiver one here? I guess it's going to be Brandon Cooks.
Well, Tolbert and Cooks will probably be the guys. And then
you want to see the young dudes do a little something here. You really want to see Tolbert.
Bro,
you want to see Mingo.
Bro.
No, I know we've been seeing it, but officially.
No. What have we been talking about since my big ass was in Oxnard? You know, well, we need somebody to step up at this receiver room. You know, we need to... If you had to go through...
You are what you are at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are who you are. And that's the thing about it is that we all felt like that there was going to be an elevation. If you take the wide receiver room, give me your level from 1 being the lowest of dissatisfied to 10 being satisfied. Give me your level of what you think this wide receiver room is this year, or what has it been this year.
Outside of CeeDee Lamb?
Just the room.
A scale of 1 to 10?
1 being just like, you know what, you need to change them all out, to 10, we're going to the Super Bowl.
I would give it probably a 3. And that's CeeDee Lamb giving you 2.9 of those.
Exactly.
It's been really bad.
That's been the problem is that, you know, we all went to Oxnard with the idea that hey, Tolbert's going to step up, and Brooks another year, and then you throw a fourth round pick, you know, or a trade in there for Mingo. And I keep making a joke that if you put a 70 number on him, you'd be really happy with the trade right now, you know.
Yeah, he's just here to block.
He's done a good job, but you know, but like I said, he hadn't had a good pass thrown to him since he's been at Ole Miss.
it's been bad for him.
Been a tough go at it, but They're going to need, and this secondary, we'll get into this. This secondary is hard to deal with.
Eagles.
Yeah, they play so much. They play nickel, and they've got two rookies that are really, really good, and they don't give you any completions, and you know they don't. And they, when they get their nickel, they don't give any yards on the per play. You're less than 5 yards a play. It's best in the league. Man, I mean, this is gonna be some tough sledding.
How about some tough sledding here as of late for these NFL games, these primetime games since Monday night? Like, we need something. We need a palate cleanser here of a good football game.
I'm not going to lie.
You didn't watch a single second last night, and I don't blame you.
I watched like 4 episodes of Day of the Jackal.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I know you were studying dudes as well.
I took a night off of studying dudes.
Wow. I asked you when you went in the car. When we were closing it down last night, I was like, "You watching some guys?"
I went on a 4 mile walk last night.
You needed every one of those miles.
I'm digging it because my neighborhood's still got the Christmas lights going, so I'm walking down different streets just checking out holiday lights, and got back, sat down, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm not going to watch film tonight," and I didn't even bother. I didn't even bother with that Bears game. I'm like bad sports guy. I could tell you what I think what's going to happen in Day of the Jackal, though.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
It's been good. Yeah, I liked the Jackal. I mean, I Penguin was better because the Penguin is like...
Have you seen all the episodes of the Jackal?
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, so I've got episode 10, the final one I've got left. I've got the last episode left.
Okay.
So it's only one season, right?
Yes, I think they're going to end up doing a second one.
Are they?
I think they
will.
Well,
that tells me what's about to happen then.
Well, it's just like, unless they just want to sort of leave things open some extent.
Yeah.
But it was definitely
a good
show.
How about the shots that guy was hitting?
Oh, dude. He's legendary, man. Yeah. I mean, the shots that he's like, able to take.
It's like,
and just calculating all the wind and the distance.
But I'm not trying to spoil anything, but there's snipers that could hit something from 1,500 yards away, and you're like, they pull the trigger, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and then boom.
yeah, that was pretty special to watch. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It is a very good show. Check it out.
I'm glad you're on that. But yeah, that game last night was absolutely brutal. I had to turn it off shortly after turning it on.
I saw the score this morning, beating, and I'm like, I'm glad I didn't participate in that.
Yeah. You're talking about Caleb Williams not completing a single pass beyond 6 yards down the field until the final drive of regulation.
Then the typical Bears, I heard that they fall apart, like bad use of timeouts and all that. Like, they just completely couldn't blame this one on Matt Eberflus, could they?
No. Thomas Brown, the interim coach, pulled an Eberflus.
Did he coach like an interim coach last night?
Yeah. Like, he had never been there before.
Yeah.
And so it was very, very sad to watch. I can't imagine being a Bears fan. I can't imagine any one of these.
Another sack for Oklahoma.
Oklahoma now with 30 seconds and counting.
And counting.
Well, one timeout left.
I think they had to use it.
Okay, they burned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oklahoma's 28 seconds away from
losing to
Navy.
They're on the Navy 25-yard line here, and that, it's just like, it's been what Oklahoma, I know Oklahoma and LSU played at the very end, and it just appears that Oklahoma's offensive line is just cannot get the job done. I mean, LSU got a lot of pressure, and it looks like the midshipmen are just doing the exact same thing. these guys that are trained to be on submarines and destroyers and aircraft carriers are just pass rushing their ass off right now.
Yeah, and that's what teams are doing to the Bears this year. Oh. Caleb Williams is now he is
60 something sacks.
Yeah, 67 sacks. Yeah. And that is, I mean, only David Carr.
His rookie year.
David Carr has two of the top three most sacked seasons by
his
a quarterback.
His first year,
His first year, all-time, 76 sacks.
Yeah.
Then Randall Cunningham is second all-time. He was sacked 72 times in 1986. And then it's David Carr once again with the Texans, and he was sacked 68 times. And then there's Caleb Williams with one more game to go, and he's just getting hit so bad, and nothing seems like it is where you want it to be from a Bears standpoint.
They have to hire an offensive coach.
You have to hire an offensive coach. I know Mike Vrabel is getting a lot of love in places, and he's not going to probably cost you as much financially, but you got to put some semblance of competent offense around your quarterback here before he's broken forever. Yeah. All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on a Football Friday. Stephen Jones joins.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joins us next right here on The Nation. All right, G-Bag of the Day in 10 minutes. Right now, we welcome in Stephen Jones to the program via the D&M Leasing Hotline. Stephen, how you doing, man? Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, Merry Christmas, and hopefully a big New Year's coming up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Looking forward to that. We were on the air yesterday when we got the news about our guy CeeDee Lamb. What a monster year he's had fighting through the injuries. What sort of went into that decision to keep him out the rest of the way?
Well, it was not getting any better, and as probably anyone could see watching the games, he was anytime he got hit on it or fell on it, it was just, serious pain for him, and regardless of what we were doing to try to help him. So, it was progressively, getting worse, and we felt, so he didn't, not only hurt that worse, but protecting it, he could hurt something else. It was the right thing to do for him because you got to protect him from himself. He's a competitor. That were up to him, he'd be out there playing Sunday. But we just felt like it was the best thing to do.
No surgery, though, will be required, so he should be good to go for springtime activities and training camp and whatnot?
Yeah, at this point, it doesn't look like we'll need surgery. We'll monitor it and see how it progresses, with him being able to, not have any collisions and not having any contact on it. Let's see how it goes, and we'll make a final decision on it. But right now it looks like it's not going to require surgery.
So what's the plan for Sunday then, wide receiver-wise? Who do you see stepping up? Might we get some more Jonathan Mingo targets?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we gave a fourth-round pick for Jonathan. It's tough to get in the mix when you hadn't been working with the quarterbacks and that type of thing. But, between him and Flournoy and the rest of the crew, the regulars out there, we'll have a good group out there, and this will be a great chance, for these guys to step up and do something. I thought Flournoy did an outstanding job last Sunday making some plays, and I think the more opportunities he gets along with Mingo and, our regulars out there should be good. One thing we'll have to monitor, too, is Tolbert's finger. He had a serious dislocation, had to be careful with it all week. But, he's very tough and wants to play with it, and we'll see how he does. But we like our receiving group, and be great to see these guys get the opportunity to step up and make plays.
Stephen, when we had the chance to work the draft there at the Star last year, we got to interview several of the coaches, some scouts along the way. We always appreciate that opportunity. To a man, they were so complimentary of Maris Leofau. And it was like gushing about the player and what he could bring and all that. I want to say there's probably more to his game, but you have to be pleased what you saw with that start the other night.
Oh, well, he's been outstanding. I mean, he's a guy who makes plays on the ball. He's got a real knack for getting the ball out. He's got a great way of punching the ball out when he gets there. And on top of that, he's very physical when he gets there. And, we just think he's got tremendous upside for us and been great to see him flourish, in Overshown's absence. And, to look at Overshown and him as our future at linebacker, that Mike and Will spot, is so key and critical to what we do. And, you know, obviously that Sam guy kind of can come in a lot of different shapes, whether it's a pass rusher, whether it's a safety type, whatever that is. That'll be interesting. But obviously to have Marist and Overshown, you know, looking to our future, you know, really makes everybody around the building smile.
Steve, when I was looking at Cooper Beebe last year, I was watching him play guard, and I know that he's been playing center for you. Is there ever been a thought with maybe the 2 weeks to go to maybe put Hoppin at center and see how he would play at guard, or is it just, hey, let's ride with what we got and try and finish this thing out and win football games?
Well, I think BB's, we want to win games, as you know, Brian. And, yeah. That's been our battle cry, you know, ever since people wrote us off, which was, you know, obviously we were at the time we weren't playing that well. But, you know, we're playing good football right now, and I think BB's really zoned in. But in the future, you know, that's one of the great things if you're an offensive lineman is to have versatility and to be able to swing from center guard center, or guard tackle, tackle guard. All those things make you all the more valuable to a team this day and time. And certainly we've got guys, you know, who are having some versatility for us. Awesome Richards has some of that. We'll be getting him back. We started the clock on him this week. It'll be great to get him back. And, you know, we've got a good young group of linemen. And I just think, you know, between guys like him and Guyton and Well, Let's Go and Awesome Richards and Hoffman and BB, you know, it's a good core group of guys that we really feel good about in terms of, you know, our depth and what we may need in the future. Between that and that tight end room, you know, we feel really good offensively about those groups.
Well, and Steven, you mentioned your tight end room. Is the metrics say that you guys are playing more 12 personnel. Is that due in fact that maybe I know that maybe it's some, you know, some game planning stuff you do, but it, you know, with Schoonmaker and then also with Span Ford, is that kind of like, hey, listen, we've got a couple of kids that can play behind Ferguson and give us what we need?
No question. And you know, both of them, all of them, can do the Y job to a degree that you feel comfortable with them in there. And that allows you, as you well know, you know, to run the football. And that's what we want to do. We've done a good job of that over the last five or six games. And, you know, feel like, you know, that's our DNA going forward is to use that tight end room. And you throw in some more guys like a Fant who has got a lot to him. And you throw in a John Stevens who unfortunately has had two tough years injury-wise, and he's a very talented tight end for us. So, you know, feel very good about that group. And then you throw in a Lupke at fullback, and, you know, we really like our personnel group there. So, you know, feel good about the future there. Obviously, we got some things offensively we'll need to continue to improve upon, but we really like our offensive personnel as we start to see this thing come together and what we may look like in the future.
Steven, Osa has played really, really well for you guys, and every week you could see that on the tape. Has Osa played better because Mozzie Smith played better?
I think that's a big part of it, Brian. I think you're hitting it good, and certainly Osa is really getting his hands around you know, why we drafted him. You know, you draft a big one technique like that. You know, that's what he did. He was outstanding at Michigan and obviously came here, and Dan's a, you know, a la Rod Marinelli a little bit up the field type. And he felt like, well, maybe I should lose some weight and be better at getting up the field. But, you know, Mozzie's just so strong and can obviously play that two gap in a really good way, and I think he is playing well, and I think Osa does feed off that.
Steven, you know, we mentioned Osa there. There's Chauncey Golston, Rico Dowdle, Jordan Lewis, guys who have played really well for you during this stretch and are also pending free agents. Are these final two games part of your evaluation in terms of if you want to bring those guys back, or do you say, no, look, we want those guys regardless, it's just a matter of making the money work?
Yeah, we want them back. I mean, they've shown that they're Dallas Cowboy football players, and There's certainly guys that we want to have back. It's just, you know, making all the calculus work when it comes to, you know, fitting everybody in, you know, underneath the salary cap. But they're all guys who play their ass off. They play hard. They play the way we want a Dallas Cowboy football player to play. And they're competitive as hell. And, you know, guys that we want to have back on our football team.
Stephen Jones with us here on The Fan. Where have you seen growth from Micah Parsons this year on and off the field?
Yeah, I think, you know, like any player who plays in this league over time, usually they just get better. And certainly Micah's one of those guys. It's hard to sometimes it's hard to fathom Micah getting better. But, you know, it's I don't think it's happen chance that our football team started playing better when we got Micah back. And, you know, I think he's understanding more and more. He tells me he's a big student of the game. He tells me, you know, has had conversations with me about, you know, the football knowledge he's gained from playing under Mike Zimmer and what Mike's trying to do. And he's taught him a lot. And, you know, I think Micah's arc's still up. And as we all see, you know, when he's in there playing and, boy, we had Overshown in there. It was fun to watch those guys move. And throwing a guy like Marist into the mix as well, you know, mixing him in with those two makes you smile. And as you said, you throw in a Mazi and an Osa and get a guy like Sam Williams back. And, you know, some of those guys and Nealon continues to mature, then, you know, you can start to feel really good. I think we could still use help in our front seven, but, you know, that'll be something, you know, that we'll all take a look at after we're, you know, after the season's over. But we still got two football games left to play, and we want to start out by beating the Eagles.
How much more Tyler Guyton can we expect to see over these next two games?
I think we'll see a lot of Tyler as we move forward. And, you know, that's just a deal where it's just maturing. And, you know, Tyler's got all the skill set that you could ask for. He's athletic as hell. He's long as hell. He's got everything you look for in a left tackle. And I think he'll just continue to get better. He hadn't played a lot of football. I mean, obviously moved around a little bit between TCU and Oklahoma. And but he's only going to get better. And we feel really good about his future.
Hey, Stephen, when you look at, like you say, this, you know, we were listening to Jerry talk this morning, and, you know, and he was kind of made a reference about plug and play. And I think that we've all kind of throw that moniker on you guys because you've done a great job with it. Is it one of those things when you talk about Guyton that maybe that the learning curve was a little bit steeper, and you just mentioned because maybe going to a couple different programs, was the learning curve a little bit steeper there than what you guys thought when you did your evaluation?
Not necessarily. I mean, you look around the league and see offensive tackles, you know, that didn't necessarily play well their first sure. year. I mean, Tyler Smith, you know, had his ups and downs his rookie year. I remember sitting in personnel meetings week after week. Mm-hmm. You know, he was having his share of holding penalties and, you know, having things that you wanted to be better. But when you're, you know, obviously pugging and playing, you know, a couple rookies and, you know, on the same offensive line, then the challenge gets a little more and don't get as much help. But, you know, I just think all these guys are going to be mainstays in our offensive line. And, you know, you look across the board at what we got coming for our future. You know, I feel good about our not only our offensive line, but our depth in our offensive line. And, you know, those big guys are hard to find. So you got to, you know, wouldn't surprise me a bit if we draft another one. So, you know, don't know where that'll be because we feel so good about our group. But we'll continue to bolt on there and add on and continue to try to build because obviously, you know, any quarterback's best friend's a good running game. And, you know, as we move forward, you get a good running game and get these guys to where they continue to improve protecting Dak going forward in the future, then it should all be good.
Stephen, what do you like to eat when you go to Philadelphia? You a cheesesteak guy? I mean, do you make it a point to enjoy the culinary experience in each city you go to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we rarely do we go through Philadelphia that we don't get good cheesesteaks. So I have to admit, there's not a lot I like about Philadelphia because yeah. of the Eagles. Yeah. But it's hard to smile when you look around Philly. But, you know, going to those Pats and some of those great places, yeah. those Philly steak cheeses are outstanding. And in all seriousness, there's wonderful people in Philly, and we've moved around the city there before, and great folks. And other than the Eagles, there's a lot to like about Philadelphia.
Well, hey, if you say so, Steven, I'll take your word for it. We appreciate the time, man, and have a safe trip and enjoy the game.
All right, guys. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year. There you go. Steven joins with us here. Jones right here. Steven, that gets me every time. Steven Jones joins. The very first time I ever brought him on to a show, I hit that.
And then
I asked him the mile-long question. Yeah. So
is that the first time you ever interviewed when you asked him that question?
Yeah, yeah. I brought him on by misspeaking, and then I asked him the longest question in the world. So I guess it was a little bit better this time. Bobby Belt's in studio, by the way.
Yeah, what's up?
This is fantastic, dude. So you were here this morning. You boogied mm-hmm. over to B-Dubs, hanging out with the KNC Masterpiece. Now you're back here partying it up. You heard about my mom's baked ziti being up here.
That was
that's what drew you in.
I can't get mom cooked food anymore.
I'll tell you what,
I have to rush up here to get it whenever I can.
It's incredible, man.
It's been a good 20 years almost since I've had mom cooked food. So I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Eric, that's what I'm here. And you left out in between there. I rushed back from B-Dubs to do Love the Star, which is out now.
Yeah.
With Brian Broaddus.
Oh, that's an Odyssey podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast.
It is.
All right. Bobby Belt is going to be hanging out for the next hour plus. We'll get you some NFL news of the day. Some good Cowboys conversation is on the horizon as well. But let's go ahead and do G-Bag of the Day with Chris Strong in for Lucius next right here on The Fan. Congratulations to Navy and the midshipmen securing their first 10-win season since 2019 after holding off Oklahoma in what was a thriller there at the end of the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, 21-20. OU goes down. I can't believe we lived in a world where the Sooners were able to just smash Alabama and then they completely fall apart this way. What a weird season for them, and I'm sure Sooners fans are hoping the John Mateer addition in the transfer portal and the Wazoo OC are mm-hmm. going to fix some things. But Brett Venables, man, things are down right now. Things are down in a bad way.
Is it a weird year for Oklahoma, or is just Alabama not that good?
Well, there's also that.
Here comes
Bobby.
The Alabama hatred.
Hell yeah, baby. Got to balance it on this show.
Yes, Bobby is in the mix here in the G-Bag Nation. Probably going to stick around until about 4 o'clock, and then we'll welcome in Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. But right now, in for Lucius Alexander, it's time for Chris Strong to bring us today's G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah, this desk has to have a warning right now. Carter's going to slam the desk a little bit more tomorrow back here after that Oklahoma loss.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's gonna a rage right now.
Nah, he'll be reasonable.
Yeah, we know Carter's being reasonable. I guarantee you he was at that game and probably stormed out.
You think halftime?
I mean, sometime in the second half, he was out of there.
He just starts screaming about the TriCaster and stuff. It's just like a flood of words that are related to work, because that's usually why he's melting down.
Yeah, he started spazzing out, and then they just kicked him out of the stadium is what happened. He didn't necessarily want to leave, but he was in endangerment.
Guys, this is G-Bag of the Day for this sunny Friday, December 27th, 2024. I'm Chris Strong, blessed and grateful to fill in for the great Lucius Alexander. He'll be back on Monday. We have a two-time winner looking for three-time.
Gotcha.
This was on the Disney Channel. Not the Disney Channel, but a Disney Channel. Pat McAfee joined the broadcast. And I can't believe this got through on air.
You boys are down there in front of the Tennessee fans. There has to be a lot of regret coming from down there.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. I honestly am starting to feel bad for some of them. And the worst part is Thick Nut, a.k.a. Slim Nut, is busting his all over their face because he is partying in front of them right now.
Yeah, anytime a nut goes wild, things get crazy.
Things do get crazy, Pat. I love that, Pat, no matter what, when one of his guys decides to venture into whatever waters, he's always there to go with them. Wherever it is you want to take me, he's down. He's not going to and sink into just how ridiculous they are.
If you're
going to
get in trouble, I'm going to get in trouble too.
That's right. He's got his teammates back. We appreciate that.
My favorite is the AO on the broadcast, just a loud, audible AO from the color commentator there. That was that was fantastic.
Be nice if he knew not to pick up the ball.
Let's look at today's nominees. Okay, talk about the Thursday night game last night while Brian Broaddus was on Peacock. The Bears fumbled, 6-3 loss, and this inspired a Bears fan to create this song to the tune of 12 Days of Christmas.
On the first loss of this streak, the Bears they gave to me a heartbreaking Hail Mary. On the second week of this streak, the Bears they gave to me stomped by the Cards and a heartbreaking Hail Mary. On the third week of this streak, the Bears they gave to me three lousy points stomped by the Cards and a heartbreaking Hail Mary.
On the fourth week of this streak,
the Bears they gave to me
blocked field goal,
three lousy points stomped by the Cards and a heartbreaking Hail Mary. On the fifth week of this streak, the Bears they gave to me overtime tease. Block field goal, tree lousy points stomped by the Cards and a heartbreaking Hail Mary. On the ninth week of this streak, the Bears they gave to me blowout loss at home, Monday night melt on new head coach, not winning, no time up, I flew overtime tease. Block field goal, tree lousy points stomped by the Cards and a heartbreaking Hail Mary. The Bears.
That's solid. That's a pretty good little ditty right there. The Bears, they deserve all the hate and vitriol, man. They are, what a sad franchise that is right now. Down completely bad. Have they broken Caleb Williams? Everywhere they turn, they just put the biggest schmo in the world on the sidelines and say, try and figure this out, and they have no idea what they're doing. Since that infamous Hail Mary disaster versus the Commanders, they're 0-10. They have a minus 109 point differential. Caleb Williams has been sacked 47 times. And the hope is all gone.
This was incredible. The production design on this was 10 out of 10. This man knows how to work Adobe Audition. And
that's a true music producer right there.
Yeah, that took some skill, and it was even longer than that. If you couldn't tell, I skipped some days in there because I wanted to get through it.
But. A lot of days of sadness in Bears country right now.
Let's check out our second nominee for today. This is actor and comedian Cam Patterson.
Oh.
He went to a Colorado game, wanted to check out Prime, I guess. And he was on the field just because he's a celebrity. He was mistaken for a recruit.
You know what's crazy? I went to a Colorado Buffalo game recently, and I had on the uniform, I had like a jacket on, and a bunch of white people just thought I was a recruit, and that was the funniest shit ever. They're like, he can't be here to read. It's not a reader. This is a running back. This is crazy. And it was cool because I was in line the whole time. Like, one lady was like, are you going to go here? You going to come here? I was like, I might. I'm thinking about it a little bit. I got three schools lined up right now. It's Florida, Georgia, and here. You feel me? And then she was like, but you can't beat these views. And I wanted to be funny, so I was like, you can't beat the white bitch. And I walked off, and she was there with the views.
Oh, my God. Cam's hilarious. Dude.
He's a legend. Thanks to me discovering Kill Tony in the last year, I've discovered him. And yeah, he's pretty special, man. He's hilarious.
That was special. And you can't beat them white blank right
there.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Shout out to Lucius Alexander. He'll be back here on Monday. He always has a huge stock of G-Bag of the Day that he just doesn't use one day, another day. I picked this one from the ones he didn't use this week. And this is a street preacher out trying to save lives. He's trying his best.
You're gonna need him. Keep on living. Keep on living. Keep on. Lord of mercy. That's what they do. They run around. They run to the mountains. Sex, sex, sex. And Chinese food. Then they smoke the weed. Then they smoke the weed. Oh, God. They smoke the weed. Lord of mercy. Jesus. Hey, God. About.
Boy, he's got some, that's some Pentecostal to him right there.
He's got some strong takes.
Oh, yeah. That's the, you ever heard, you remember Sam Kinison?
Yes.
Did you ever see Sam Kinison do, because he wanted to be a preacher before he was a comedian.
No.
And like Big Tent Revival stuff.
Wow.
And when Sam Kinison launches into that, whenever he would do the whole thing where he's like, you know, they ask me if I still have it in me, if I could testify, and he just starts launching. That's what it reminded me of. Sounded like Sam Kinison there.
Yeah, dude. Okay, I'm just discovering who this guy is.
Sam Kinison? You don't know Sam Kinison?
I didn't know who this was.
Is he
was born
to
in the 50s.
Yeah,
he died before I even was born.
Car accident. Yep. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Really sad because he cleaned up too. He was had a lot of issues with drugs and alcohol, cleaned up, and then ended up getting a car accident.
Wow. All right. Well, at least he's getting a little love here in the G-Bag.
Sorry to bring you down.
Thanks to Bobby Belt. No, that was good. It was a fun fact.
It's okay. You brought things down a little bit, but it's a sunny day. We had Jerry Jones earlier today, and Chris Arnold had a rare opportunity to talk with him on air, and they hearkened back to some of the days of the past. Plus, Jerry finished this off with CA's slogan.
Chris, it's great to be on with you, man.
It's been a while.
So far back, and I can just think of all the good times that we've spent enjoying these last 30-something years. So good to be on with you, Chris. And
you too.
And both of you.
Oh, yeah. And Jerry, hadn't talked to you since the pandemic on the radio, but again, it's great talking to you. We got some stories to tell. Oh, on and off the air.
Woo-wee. It's good.
He loves hitting that ooey, man. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, him and CA, the amount of special moments those two guys have shared together.
I remember Jerry and I sitting with Michael Dukakis. We were having cocktails. we were talking about how long it had been since we had seen Faye Dunaway.
Limited Faye, Chris Arnold in the building. That is strong. We usually get one of those every couple of years. We get a Jerry ooey, just as strong as ever. CA brings the best out of people. The calf rise conversation was pretty good.
It was beautiful. Yeah, that calf conversation at the end as well kind of continued the Xavier Leggett conversation that's been going on and the squirrel brains and all that. So we might have to play that next week on G-Bag of the Day as well.
Yeah, that would be worth it. CA tried to set him up. And Jerry was, he navigated those waters pretty nicely, I would say. Live from B-Dubs with Bobby Belt in attendance, and now he's in studio with us right now. All right, is that it?
That's all
Chris
we got.
Strong,
today.
That's what
yes,
we got.
Sir.
All right, those are the nominees here. Is it your 2-time champ looking for 3? McAfee's crew is nuts. Is it the Bears Christmas song diss track? Is it comedian Cam Patterson ball sacking the Buffs fan base? We have the Street Pastor or Jerry and CA. Just a couple of Hall of Famers cutting it up,
yeah.
Oh, what are we going to do here? I actually like that Cam Patterson joke. I think that's pretty strong right there. That's going to be my vote.
I always enjoy a good Chris Arnold interaction with one of his famous friends, so I'm going Jerry.
Okay, 1-1, Chris.
I'm rocking with that Cam Patterson clip as well.
2-1, and Broadus finally has a vote that matters this week.
Yeah, how about that? Let's go with Cam Patterson. I put a star by it, and we'll vote for that today.
There it is, Cam Patterson, your new G-Bag of the Day champion right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, on a football Friday, let's get you some NFL news of the day. And I think Bobby's got some good Cowboys questions for us as well. He's with us all hour. Let's football it up next year in the nation.